Brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Good afternoon, Paso Robles and North County, or I guess South and South County, Monterey. Do we get out to Kings County at all, since you're the King County rep for your new state? I don't know if we do or not. But anyways, there are people that listen on the internet, too, like Jamie Umpenauer out in the free state of Oklahoma. And then I
Ray in Bakersfield.
Yeah, okay. Well, to everybody out there in radio land, happy Friday. Another day, another dollar. Another glorious day. We're getting closer to fall, which I'm excited about because it's freaking hot. And I'm getting too old to shovel dirt around, so it's good the show starts at 12:30 and ends at 2:30 because I don't have to sit outside and work. I don't have an office job like you pogues.
I'm not exactly sure what my day job is these days.
But it was my own choice. I did not want an office job. That was one reason why I retired when I did, because they said, hey, congratulations, we're promoting you and sending you back to the Pentagon. I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. Oh, we got a text already. I wonder if it's your stalker.
I do have several stalkers.
Oh, you were getting some hate mail last week. I was shocked.
Oh, no, it's people that...
Oh, well, this is off to a good... Evidence. Yeah, this is off to a good start, though. Hi, Darsha, I propose a day where no one interrupts you. Well, actually, there's signs up all over the stadium. There are two signs. I think the one that's for me says talk directly into the microphone. But then there are multiple that say, here, Darsha, you read it. I can't see it. That one's over by you.
Well, we're just
there are two over by you.
Professionals here who spend our free time out here so that we can talk with the people, because it is actually the talking with the people that I appreciate and will continue to do so. So if I have interrupted somebody or if I have not answered the question carefully or quickly enough, I can apologize for that, but I'm not going to back down. So
just remember, you get what you paid for. And we don't get paid.
Well, Kenny, I do appreciate having this time with you today. And we have never a dull moment, as they say. But, you know, the Paso Robles School Board, I have to say, I attended the Tuesday night meeting. And it seems to be the gift that keeps on giving, just like Fulton County, Georgia, is the... the county elections that keeps on giving as far as election integrity. And I have an update for California, Shasta County. We'll get into that a little bit later on today. And we also have, I have a big congratulations out to the Paso Robles Water Basin and the Quiet Title Action. I believe it's done. It's gone. Flush down the toilet. So all of you people who did fight for your quiet title, thank you from the rest of the community, and congratulations. And once more, we the people can prevail. So with that, Kenny, back to you.
Well, gee, what do you want to talk about first? Water? Do they get any damages back at all or no? I mean, because it costs, the individuals had to pay into that. And I'm curious as to whether anybody's going to make them whole or they just get a pat on the back for standing up to.
Well, here's the truth of it. We all had to pay for it. Was the entire community, the entire San Luis Obispo County, that ended up having to pay for this 12 years of lawsuits and elections for the AB 2453, for the fighting, the Proposition 218, for the Proposition 26, people showing up at these water board meetings. Again, I call it being waterboarded. But anyway, so 12 years and really probably closer to 15 years of the community saying, constitutionally, we have the beneficial use to the water that's under our property. And that is a California Constitution. So it's standing up for those rights. And I just thank everyone that's in there. And we all have paid, and it's almost $21 million that the constituents of San Luis Obispo County, in one way or another, whether it's the Paso Robles City, whether you're in an opt-in district, or if you're the county of San Luis Obispo, you ended up paying for all of those attorneys. And welcome to Open Mic Friday. You're our first call today. What would you like to talk about?
Thank you for taking my call. I'm a fourth generation Paso Roblan, and I remember the floods of 68, 69, and them having to get a crane to take wood out from in front of the 13th Street Bridge, which I believe was only 2 years old at that time, to save that bridge. We're 57 years out from that, and now we have a hedge of poplar trees that are 30 feet tall in front of that bridge. And I feel like I'm speaking to the wind. When that river comes up, there's going to be something to pay if something isn't done about the extra growth in the middle of that river. I worked for Brian Meat Company, and when that flood came and everything was backed up there at the Navajo South River Road, it was coming over there a foot deep. Mm-hmm. And it where the parking lot is for those condos that are across from the Navajo, that was a settling pond for Brian Meat Company. It almost took those out. Mm-hmm. And we haven't had, I think 88, 89 maybe was kind of close, but we haven't had a flood like that in at least 57 years. If something isn't done, it's very possible that not. That year, it took out the San Miguel Bridge. It took out the little airport road bridge that most people don't even know anymore was there. If Union Road crossed across 46, Airport Road started right then, went across that little bridge, and then towards the airport. That bridge got taken out by the Hura Hura. It was one heck of a flood. And if we had another one of those at this point, I don't know what would happen. If it dammed up at the bridge, didn't take it out, where's that water going to go? The low end of the bridge is the Union Road, River Road, Creston Road intersection. There's been a lot of talk about, well, we need some other way to get across the river. If that got taken out or that bridge got taken out, where are we?
And that's been one of my objections to this whole process is that PRAGA, the Paso Robles Area Groundwater Authority, and I always put authority in air quotes, one of the issues is that even though they're charging people essentially an extraction fee, the irrigated agriculture people, that it's $1.1 million just to keep the lights on an annual basis, but they actually can't use any of that money to promote or fund projects that actually would be part of a solution. So this is where I believe as a community, it's up to us to be able to say, hey, this is an area that's going to be a problem. And especially when the city of Paso Robles, that's that land area, when they're looking at doing an underpass under eastbound 46, I mean, you can be westbound, but 46. And when we do an underpass, that if there is a period of time where there's, and they're calling for an El Nino this winter, so we'll have more than enough water and
super a problem. El
Nino. Yes, okay. So your issue and your area and your historical knowledge is something that I know that people listening to KPRL, I believe that we can all come together and go, okay, if this happens, what can we be doing right now to clear out areas or to prepare for what might be coming? And that it's not just the government that has the answers, for sure.
And if we do have that El Nino this year, we're already too late, because the wood, the trees that are there right now are the ones that are going to be the problem. And it's going to happen, whether it's this year or 10 years down the road or something, but somebody needs to be aware that if we had an El Nino that was equal to 68-69, if it didn't take that bridge out, it's going to take something out. They talk about, you know, floods that were, logs have been bumping the bottom of the bridge. These were packed up against the bridge. There's a picture in the Paso Robles Pioneer Day Museum of two people standing at what was the first trestle bridge, which was probably a 12th Street trestle bridge, and it shoots across the river. There's no trees. It's a 1918 picture. It's really pretty classic, but there's no trees in the river bottom. And yet we've let that growth go and go and go all of these years, and the river is changing directions. We put a lot of money into the river walk. It'll take that out.
Right.
The water was clear up in there. It was at the east end of the bridge. It was up against those abutments over there. That's you're only 10 feet from over top in that part, and yet, who knows? Probably only the people that have been here this long, and observed it. If they don't do something, if they don't at least start the process of doing something, and getting it past the government, we're in trouble. It'll take that bridge out, and if it doesn't, it'll take out everything else.
And thank you for thank you for bringing that to everyone's attention. And I believe that as a community, we can get something done in the next month, 2 months, that there are things that can be done and should be done, even if it doesn't mean it goes through the Coastal Commission, the Planning Commission, the, you know, all of those, all of the above. So thank you for your call.
I would sure hope so. You're right, welcome. Thanks. Bye.
And welcome to Open Mic Friday. What's on your mind?
Hello, Matt.
Yes.
Am I on the air?
You are. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to echo that fine gentleman's sentiments exactly. I'm born and raised in Paso Robles, which makes me a dinosaur. but I have seen firsthand what that river can do. And the truth of it is that our benevolent government shut down the ability to clean out the riverbed and keep it clear. All of our old pitchers had open ponds and swimming ponds and open areas all through the Salinas River. But a small portion of the government, the Fish and Game, and a couple of other portions of the government shut that down and has not allowed us to clear the river. Without it, we will end up with an issue as the debris piles up against the bridges, even though the bridges are quite a bit higher than they were in the old days. The water has to go somewhere, and the fight needs to be taken to the state. The state needs to be held accountable for the damage it will cause. And that's basically where I see the issue. And I'm hoping that enough people get after the state to allow that to happen so we can clean and control our own riverbed. That's it. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in and echoing that as well.
Absolutely.
You know, my question on this is everything I'm reading about the El Nino for the 26-27 year is that it's going to exceed, I think the one they keep referencing is 82-83. So I'd be curious how the 68-69 one compared to the early 80s ones. Got a bunch of texts. You want me to read them to?
Well, I do know that in Santa Barbara area, 82-83 was, that was my first year in Santa Barbara, and we had hurricane-like winds and the rains, and that took out the Biltmore Pier that was there, extended out near the Coral Casino area in Montecito. And that was a big deal. There were mudslides in 1968-69 in Santa Barbara, and those repeated in 2016 or so. I think they had a little help, but...
But you know the state of California. Why plan when you can react? All right, first text says the QT, which I'm assuming means the Quiet Title People, actually won nothing. So... I appreciate your efforts. I will buy the first round of beers. That one, that was a private message to Darsha, which I'll skip. So here's another one on Quiet Title. I put up close to $8,000 over a period of 11 years to fight the Quiet Title. I hope I can recoup some of my money. Well, I'll buy you beers.
So I'm constitutional on this issue. And even it is in the California Constitution, and we are already being charged as property owners. We're being charged a part of the floodwater control district. So that money is going to a plan that was so-called implemented. And so all of the property taxes are already paying for that plan. Yeah. What the Praga Group and the Paso Robles Committee, the people that caused or were, I won't say, let's say a corollary effect, that coincidentally, when there were certain areas that started to be farmed with grapes and at a large, you know, what previously had been dry farmed, that wells around those areas are the ones that went dry. And so... granted, you know, they need to have deeper wells to be able to access that water. But when you have a cause and an effect, it's probably better to actually look at what happened rather than going out to the entire area, hundreds of thousands of acres, and saying, oh, all of you people now need to pay for this problem that was caused.
Yeah.
So
never
that's where I get to it.
Never let a crisis go to waste. The one more text that just came up says, having gone through the 68-69 rain deluge and lived it, caller is so correct. I was a junior. I was in junior high during that time. It will be interesting to see the rain. I share the concerns when I look at these bridges, and it's a simple fact. We don't maintain anything in this state. Look at this, you know, I'll use that as a segue back to the school district. We weren't maintaining the schools. I mean, the 36th Street campus, honestly, was shut down primarily because of the lack of maintenance. And why there was a lack of maintenance is up for debate. You know, those that were in favor of Measure M said it was because, oh, well, we knew we were going to tear it down, so we didn't maintain it. But, you know, in the meantime, you had kids sitting in flea-infested
buildings. When it's other people's money.
Yeah. All right, quick break. We'll be back in a minute.
Usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Plan to attend the 30th ever Creston Classic Rodeo September 10th, 11th, and 12th. All of your rodeo favorites like barrel racing, roping, penny will be at the Creston Classic Rodeo, and don't miss the famous mutton busting. Watching the little cowboys and cowgirls trying to stay on those sheep is always exciting. For more information, check out the Creston Classic Rodeo on Facebook, Instagram, and at CrestonClassicRodeo.org.
All right, we're back. You know, to continue that topic, one of the issues when I look at all the misfeasance and malfeasance of bureaucrats, the problem I always have is whenever you try to hold the bureaucrat accountable, you're basically beating yourself with a baseball bat. Because every time you go after that bureaucrat, it's usually the public entity, whether it's the school district, the city council, the county government, you name it, that winds up having to pay the damages. There needs to be something in the state constitution where it says, you know, if you as a bureaucrat violate somebody's rights or you break something, we're going to take it out of you, not the taxpayer. And there's no accountability anywhere. And it's really beginning to frustrate me. I see it on a routine basis. Kevin was talking about the credit cards this morning from the school district. I got stacks. I haven't finished my waste, fraud, and abuse spreadsheet for the 25-26 school year, but it's down in some areas, but certainly not coffee. Go ahead, caller. You're on the line.
Well, let me explain something about attorney's fees. Attorney's fees are awarded either by statute, or in the case of civil matters, it's up to the judge to decide if he wants to award attorney's fees to the prevailing party. The prevailing party puts in a memorandum of costs and includes in that memorandum the attorney's fees. And then the judge decides if the attorney's fees are worthy and appropriate, and award them accordingly. Now, the memorandum of costs hasn't even been submitted yet because the judge is just now signing the judgment. But soon after the judgment is signed, Sandy Steinbeck and them will submit their memorandum of costs, and then we'll see what the judge says.
So, for instance, the individual that texted in said they put in over $8,000. So you think there's a possibility that they'll recoup some of that through the court?
Well, they were all part of Cindy Steinbeck's group. And So if most of the people put in equal amounts, and they'll get their share of the attorney's fees if Cindy Steinbeck's group is awarded attorney's fees pursuant to the memorandum of cost.
And my understanding is, hopefully the mic's a little bit better. We adjusted a few things here, but Kenny was muting me. Well, my understanding is that in the most recent action, that there were expert witnesses that prepared thousands of pages of documents, and so the attorneys had to go through that.
And that's part of their cost.
So I think it's only this most recent action where there can be some recoupment. Is that the term? For the attorney's fees, not for other actions that occurred prior. Because, I mean, the entire cost, I mean, we're at $20 million between the city of Paso, the county, and that's taxpayer money, essentially, that you're fighting, your resources, you are paying to have the fight. And so not only are you using your resources to call the action, but then the county or the city or whatever governmental agency is using those resources, your resources, to fight you. And so at one of the city council meetings and the county supervisors meetings, I just said, listen, I'm here to save the county some money. I'm here to save the city some money. Stop warring with your constituents. And the same goes for the school board. You know, I mean, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Now you know why nobody trusts government.
Exactly.
Other people's money, OPM. They get high on OPM. All right, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
So, Kenny, what might be an update from the most recent Paso Robles Joint Unified School District?
Well, we only got like 2 minutes. So
okay. Well, I have to wait until afterwards.
But I've gotten lots of people asking me about the fancy flyer that came out on Measure M, a promise kept for Paso Robles students. And then, of course, Brad Pawlowski wrote an opinion piece about how wonderful Measure M was and what a great thing it was. No mention of grand jury investigation, no mention of all the cost overruns and blowing of budgets. But I did. I don't know if we got a better answer this morning at the coffee with the superintendent, but I asked the other night, and Linda Becker, when she stood up in front of the board for public comment, asked how much we spent on this flyer, and right now it's about $10,000 for the mailer that went out to everybody, and it's part of a media blitz, because when you looked through the survey that was done back in February, I can't remember when
several
we did,
months ago.
Nobody knew what had been done with Measure M, which might have been a good thing for the district. But we'll see.
Well, my understanding is the oversight committee you had reported hadn't. There's supposed to be a public oversight committee that's supposed to be looking and making sure that the Measure M funds are being spent properly.
Yeah, I'll get into that. There's some serious in my opinion, some serious statutory concerns over the fact that we as a district did not follow Prop 39, which basically. I think it was 2000 when that passed, and that lowered the threshold from 60% to 55% for bond measures. But along with it came certain actions that have to be taken, and we blew them off. And so I'll get into that after the break. I'll get into some of the comments I made on the next bond measure, and because I think there's some statutory violations on that as well that we as a board did not do what we were required to do by Prop 39.
There's been some oversight, but in a different definitional way.
Yeah. All right. Take your break. We'll be back in a minute.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.